It is a fearful thing to stand before a holy God and to stand before God's people and attempt to proclaim the great gospel of the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I need your prayers. I need your prayers. Turn with me to the 8th chapter of John, a chapter that has been preached on many, many times, but a message that never grows old. We find in the first part of this chapter, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives early in the morning, came into the temple. He sat down and was teaching in the temple. When these scribes and Pharisees brought a woman caught in the very act of adultery. And let's look down and see what they say to him. They say unto him, this is the fourth verse, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now, first of all, they didn't have this great concern about the law of Moses. And how do we know this? Well, first of all, they were not adhering to the law. You go look back over in Leviticus, and it says not only the woman needs to be stoned, but the man also. So they bringing her in here just to tempt Jesus. Try to catch him in a corner, so to speak. Because had he agreed with them, then they could go to the Roman government and claim, here's a man that just wants to condemn this woman to death. Had he not agreed with them, then they could go to the Jews, right? And say, he has no respect for Moses and the law. But look what Jesus is doing. That's the most amazing thing to me. He stoops down, he's writing in the dirt. I think he was writing something significant. We can only speculate, but I think he was writing something significant. He may have been writing that law. You need to bring both the woman and the man, you know. Who knows what he was writing? But he didn't even answer them. So they kept on with him, of course, you know. They kept on. And look what he finally says in the 7th verse. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Wow. If you're without sin, you need to be casting stones, huh? Now, let me ask you a question. And this is something you need to ask yourself. And you're going to have to answer it within yourself. Have you been casting stones? That's a hard question to ask sometimes, isn't it? But, you know, if somebody has offended us and we don't do what the Scriptures tell us, what does Scripture tell us to do? Go to him. Scripture doesn't tell us to go over here and talk to two or three other people. And get upset. Can you believe what this fella done? That's casting stones, and it will tear a church apart. Did you hear what I said? It will destroy a church, and it will destroy it faster than anything. We are to follow God's commandments, and we need to be ready to forgive. In past, we haven't been that great of a forgiving people. People outside would look at us and say, those people are not a forgiving people. That ought to hurt our hearts. It ought to hurt it deeply. We need to be ready to forgive. Now look what Jesus said. Look what happened. These men left. They couldn't say a word to that, by the way. They couldn't say a word to it, and they went out. They said from the eldest to the last. Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman and said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said one thing, "No man, Lord." That's all she said. And look what Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Wow. We need to be more like our Savior, Jesus Christ, and not condemn and be ready to forgive. What a lesson. What a lesson that we need to hear over and over and over again, don't we? Because I know how I am. I need to hear it constantly. We need to hear it over and again. Well, what a great way to start out this chapter, teaching that lesson. And as we go down through this, we see these scribes and Pharisees continuing in their argumentative ways with Christ. So let's go down, for time's sake, to about the 28th verse now. And let's read a little bit and go from there. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." How wonderful. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever." Now, listen to this. Of course, you know, these Jews, Abraham was very important in that time, and even so now to the Jews. We know that Abraham was called out of his country in front of his kindred into the land God would show him. And in Hebrews, we see that by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out. And he did it by faith. But these Jews are claiming to be Abraham's seed. And by nature, they were. But see, they valued themselves a little nobler than they really should have been, so to speak, for that reason. You know, we're Abraham's seed and we're a little better than you. But what a great falsehood for them to declare that they were never in bondage to anyone. What a great falsehood. Can I take this jacket off, brother? Would y'all mind? What a great falsehood. Were they not their ancestors in bondage in Egypt? Were not, how about during the time of the judges, when their neighbors, the Philistines and the Moabites, you know, from time to time put them in servitude? Were they not in bondage in Babylon? Were they in bondage to Rome at this time? Absolutely. And they certainly were in bondage to sin. They certainly were in bondage to sin. So now they're claiming, okay, we are Abraham's seed. And Jesus down in verse 37 tells them, agrees with them, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." See, they believed that Abraham's seed entitled them to sonship. They believed because they were the seed of Abraham that they were spiritual children. That ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't true. Oh, that's nowhere close to the truth. Let's turn now to the ninth chapter of Romans. Ninth chapter of Romans, ninth verse, six. Chapter 6, verse. "Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. The Apostle Paul is declaring just because one is a natural Jew does not make them a spiritual Jew. The religious world will tell you today, now, my in-laws are children of God. I believe it. They don't believe in Primitive Baptists. They're the Arminic faith. And she'll tell you right quick, like, the nation of Israel today is God's chosen people. The nation of Israel today is God's chosen people, is what they believe. And they also, some will go even a little further and say, the church has to support the nation of Israel today, and you as an individual have to support the nation of Israel today. If you're not, you're going to hell. Some will go that far as to say that. But the Apostle Paul is telling us all of Israel is not Israel. All of natural Israel is not spiritual Israel. Romans 2nd chapter. The Lord teaches us the criteria of what God declares as a Jew. Look in the 2nd chapter. We'll go to the 28th verse. 2 and 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So these are those who God declares are Jew. One who has been circumcised inwardly in the heart. Where are they today? Where are God's children? Revelation tells us, for he has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Kindred means tribe or clan. Tongue means language. People is a group or tribe, and nation is a race or a tribe. So God has a people out of every tribe, out of every clan, out of every language that has ever been spoken on this earth, out of every group and race of people that has ever been on this earth. And it's a number that no man can number more than the stars in the heaven. If you have a love for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you have a desire to be close to Him, if you have a desire to learn of Him, and at the same time you struggle every day, this inward struggle, right from wrong, you do something wrong, you feel guilty about it. You want to try to do something good, but like the Apostle Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. But you have a love for the brother, for the brothers of the gospel, the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you are what God declares a Jew. Have you ever thought about that? You're a Jew. Isn't that amazing? You are a Jew. And this same man that those Pharisees were arguing with, this same man that the wise men came looking, said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Because we've seen his star and we want to worship him. This same man that Pilate wrote a title and put over the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He was born the King of the Jews, and he still is the King of the Jews. Isn't that amazing? He still is the King of the Jews. You're a Jew, and you have a king, and he's reigning today. Amen. Heard somebody say the other day, well, he's not reigning yet. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? He's reigning today. And he's our King, King Jesus. Isn't that something? Wow. So Paul is declaring that being a child of God has nothing to do from where you come from. No, not, had nothing to do with your parents or your grandparents. and so forth and so on. It is by the grace of God and grace alone. Did you hear that part? Grace alone. By God's grace. Not something that we do. Let's go on down here in a little bit now to 38 verse. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Now, we've declared already that they are the seed of Abraham. Now they're claiming to be the children of Abraham. And Jesus said, no. If you were Abraham's children, you'd be doing the works of Abraham. See, there's a difference from being the seed of Abraham and being the children of Abraham. There's a big difference, isn't there? As we go on, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye did the deeds of your father. Then they say to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Okay, they've gone from being the children of Abraham to saying that God's their father now. Isn't it interesting to hear them say that? There is millions upon millions today that claim that they have one father, even God. And they have one thing in common with these Pharisees. They do not believe on the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Someone I think read that scripture today that declared, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. By me. That's right. That's right. So, they claiming that God is their Father. And listen to what Jesus said to them. If God were your Father, ye would love me. Ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my words. Now, what does he mean by that? Wait a minute, Lord. I've been sitting there talking to you. Been carrying on a conversation with him. What do you mean you can't hear my words? You know, Lord said this a couple times in the scriptures. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. You remember that? He that hath an ear, let him hear. See, some people has hearing ears. Some people do not. Some people do not. What do you mean? The natural man, the man that is dead in trespasses and sin, knoweth not the things of God. He is a hater of God. The carnal mind is enmity towards God. He has no fear of God. Spiritual ideas are foolishness unto him. He cannot believe. He cannot be converted. He cannot hear and understand the things of God. Have you ever asked that question to anybody who's trying to learn the truth? Have you ever asked this question, who can believe? The idea of the religious world, the answer there would be everybody. No, that's not what the scriptures teach us. The natural man, the man that's dead in trespasses and sin, cannot hear and understand the things of God. And he will not come to God, not on himself. See, it takes an act by our Lord and Savior. It takes an act by our God. It takes that heart being circumcised, just like I said before. The natural man knoweth not the things of God. And Jesus declares unto these Jews, ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Boy, that's harsh, isn't it? Isn't that harsh? Verse 47, he says this, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not. Why do they hear them not? Because ye are not of God. Ye are not of God. You can't hear. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keepeth my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Now, we as God people should always try to keep the sayings of God, and you know, we oftentimes fail, but it certainly should be our desire. But these Jews are saying, Abraham is dead. Surely Abraham and the prophets kept the sayings of God. Art thou greater than Abraham? How is it then that a man keepeth the sayings of God and he shall never see death? Well, we know that when this body dies and it returns to dust, you know, the scripture says, For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So the body goes back to dust, waiting for the second coming of our Lord. But the soul and spirit of God's children does not die at the death of the body. The soul and spirit return to God. Matthew 22 says, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, and I am the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but He's the God of the living. Isn't that amazing? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Funny thing about everlasting, I said this before. Everlasting is everlasting. Eternal is eternal. It's forever. It's forever. You know, Apostle Paul said one time, you know, and I can't quote this. My mind playing tricks on me. But he said, I'm in the middle of the twixt between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, wow. Isn't that something? See, that's what we're looking forward to, being with Christ, which is far better. So we know that the body dies at death, but the soul and spirit returns to God. And, you know, death means separation. That's what death means. God's children will not face that final death. We will not experience that eternal separation from God. That ought to make you shout. That ought to make you shout. Wow. We have been given the gift of eternal life. Listen, men since the dawn of time have been trying to figure that one out. How to live forever. It's been given to you. Oh my Lord, it's been given to us. What a gift. Good time of day. He's given us eternal life. Wow. And we didn't deserve it. That's what's so amazing about it, isn't it? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. Wow. Boy, that's straightforward, isn't it? I'll be a liar like you, but I know him and keep him safe. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Jews said, Thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Boy, they thought they had him there, didn't they? Oh, we have caught you in a lie. we have caught you in a lie. Well, when did Abraham see the day of Christ? Look back into the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And I know you've read this before, you've heard it before, so we'll go over it quickly. But listen to this. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clayed the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. You want to see? Now, we know in Hebrews where it tells us that by faith, Abraham offered Isaac. Look at Abraham's faith. Look at this right here. Look what he told these young men. Abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And then I and the lad's coming back to you. Do you see that? Oh, what faith Abraham had. Me and the lad's coming back to you in a little bit. Just wait on us. Just wait here. Just wait here. Wow. Now, when those Jews ask, you know, have thou seen Abraham? Well, Lord didn't say, you know, that he had seen Abraham. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and return. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Wow. Now look in the 7th verse there in Genesis 22. Look what Isaac says. Isaac old enough to see what's going on. He spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Brother Jeff, here it is. Behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So Abraham was tried of God. And Abraham shows a great readiness to do it. As soon as God commands him, he travels 3 days' journey. He took the wood for the burnt offering. He took a knife. He built an offering. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on that altar. He stretched forth his hand with a knife in it to slay his son. And he fully intended to do it. Fully intended to do it. And he did all this by faith. And the angel of the Lord appeared and said, Abraham, Abraham, wow, lay not thy hand on thy son, neither do him any harm. Isn't that amazing? See, all of a sudden, Abraham looks over and he sees a ram caught in the thicket. God will provide himself a lamb. And he did. And he did. But not only for this time. Not only for this time. For eternity. That's good, brother. For eternity. God provided a lamb for me and you. A sacrificial lamb. The scripture says, He stands as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He provided a lamb. Isn't that wonderful to see in type and shadow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His sacrificial death stood in our place. God provided a lamb. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Can you imagine the joy that Abraham felt when the angel called out to him, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham said, Here am I. Lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do him any harm. And Abraham saw that lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. And he did. Isn't that wonderful to see it? These verses, listen to this. The New Testament says, or Jesus said this, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Oh, these verses testify of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? They testify of him. And what a message it's sending us of the glorious gospel, the love that our Lord had for his children. That's the message it's sending, the love that he had for us. Let's read the last part of this, and I know my time's coming to a close here. The last part of this in the 8th chapter of John, we go back. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Yeah. Now, where do we got to find that at? You remember when Moses was talking to God at the burning bush, and Moses asked this question. He said, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they're going to say to me, what's his name? What do I tell them? And the Lord said this. He said, I am that I am. And you go back over and look at it. Every letter of that is capitalized. I am that I am. Tell them I am has sent you. Wow. I am. What does that mean? What does it mean? I am means eternal. It means self-existence. You know, we have a past, we have a present, and we have a hope for a future, but God is not restricted to time. He's not restricted to time. He's always been, he is, and he always will be. Revelation says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Before Abraham was, I am. Not I was, I am. If he said I was, that'd have been true. It would have declared his preexistence. But this is more than just the preexistence of our Lord. This is declaring, I am, referring to the eternal Son of God. Eternal. Wow, how amazing. Those Jews knew what I am meant. They knew what it meant, and it made them mad. And they took up stones to cast at him. But you look at the power of our God. Hid himself from them, and he passed right through the middle of them. And he passed by. How amazing is that? There's so much in this chapter. We sang a song just a few minutes ago, and I'll close with a couple of verses. This I wanted you to listen. I think it ties in good. Man of Sorrows. What a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Our sacrificial lamb dying for us. But listen to this third verse. Guilty, vile, and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement. Can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. God bless you.